Good afternoon, I'm Khaki Walton. Checking on the arts is made possible by contributing listeners, the Dixon Gallery and Gardens, and the Pink Palace Museum.
Feed me, Seymour. Feed me all night long. That's right, boy. You can do it. Feed me, Seymour. Feed me all night long. 'Cause if you feed me, Seymour, I can grow up big and strong.
You eat blood, Audrey Tulip.
All right. Feed Me Seymour. Of course, that's from Little Shop of Horrors. That opens this Thursday at the University of Memphis. It runs Thursdays through Saturdays this weekend and next. It's being directed by the Associate Professor of Theater, Jacob Allen, at the U of M, and he joins me in the studio this afternoon. Good to see you.
You too.
Now, this is one of my faves. Is it one of yours?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I've had the opportunity to direct this show a number of times, and the first time was many years ago. It was my undergraduate thesis project before graduate school, before going out and performing, before coming here to the University of Memphis. So it's a delight to return to it after a long absence.
What is it like for you, though, if you've done it a few times, when you come to it again, you've grown as a director, and you obviously probably come up with lots of different things to do. I wish I had done that the time before. Let me try this time.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, the cast is different every time, too. And so working with them and off of them, that drastic changes the piece. I also think that, you know, what's going on in the world, particularly with a piece like Little Shop of Horrors, which can seem like this trite thing, but it's a melodrama and it's addressing social issues through like a comic scheme, and those always resonate differently depending on what's going on in the world. And this is definitely a very different world than it was, you know, 20 years ago last time I did it.
Yeah, you can look at it as a comic book sort of a thing, a sci-fi comic book fantasy kind of a thing. Well, so what about Seymour and the characters and the issues they're dealing with? What do you tell your cast? What makes this have more meat to it, really?
Yeah, so this is a story about a young man who works at a really distraught, economically depressed floral shop. He probably doesn't get paid anything. He works to have a place to sleep in this floral shop that is just dying. And he randomly comes across this bizarre-looking plant that is so interesting that as soon as they display it in the window, it manages to start drawing interest and business to the floral shop. The plant is ultimately alive and convinces Seymour, in order to keep it alive, to do a whole bunch of really bad things. And the piece we just heard, Feed Me, that's what the plant wants, is to be fed. And unfortunately, he only eats human flesh. this is about somebody being asked to perhaps do some less than morally fantastic things in order to achieve some goals, which at first seem like morally they make sense. Let's get rid of somebody really bad in order to help somebody who's really good. But it ultimately becomes a really slippery slope, right? And so I think, you know, it's commenting on this idea that even if we're doing something bad in service of something great, let's really look at that and see if it's worth it in the end. And I think I'll leave it to the audience to decide what the show says about that.
Yeah. Well, you've got great characters. This is one thing. As a director, there's so many challenges to this show. Not only do you have to find powerhouse voices,
right?
But I mean, to say that you need to come up with some great technical wizardry, I mean, right, that's putting it mildly, right?
Yeah, so this bizarre plant character that comes to life, we have to find a way to deal with that. And it's played by four progressively large puppets, puppeteered by three different performers over the course of the show, to show its transition from this small pod-like thing to a very large plant, the largest of which would essentially fill this studio that we're in right now, that can consume entire human beings. So that's been a fun challenge as well. And you know, the technology of puppetry and this sort of stuff is another thing that's changed since last time I did the show. And so it's fun to work with such fantastically crafted puppets and bring those to life. And that's been a fun challenge for the students as well.
So did you have a team create this figure? Did you rent this figure?
We have a very talented scenic designer who comes to us from the Cincinnati College Conservatory of Music.
Oh, wow.
And he was able to negotiate for us to use and rent their puppets. carpets, which are really fantastically crafted things, and it's been a real joy. You know, we had them shipped by freight in these two huge crates about the size of a motorhome, so that's been fun.
Did you gather the cast around and do the whole unveiling of the crate?
It was like Christmas when it finally showed up. You know, everybody was standing watching them haul it off the back of the freight truck.
Oh my gosh, everybody had to be so excited about that.
Yes.
What about the person who was voicing the plant?
Yeah, so that's, you know, the sort of syncing, because we can't have the moving these puppets is physically exhausting, and
sure,
there's just no way for that person to also be, you know, singing and performing that aspect of the character. So it's interesting trying to get that performance to sync up, especially when they are physically in very different places. You know, trying to have one person manipulate these plants to match with somebody else who's voicing them. And at the same time, you can never do it the same way twice. That would be the easy way. You know, I say this line right here exactly that way every time, and you do this exactly that way every time, but that would not read authentic. So we have to come up with a way to really have those two performers work with each other a lot so that they can stay in sync over the course of the show.
Right. I mean, every show is going to be different, and that's what we love about live theater.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what about your lead characters playing Seymour and Audrey?
Yeah. We have two juniors in the program that are doing this, and it's some initial opportunities for them to play leads on the main stage, which is fun. They both have been preparing for the role over the summer. We cast the show back in April before anybody went away, and one of them spent the summer doing seven shows in Ohio and preparing the material, and the other one spent the summer doing nine shows on Cape Cod. And I don't know how they managed to get this prepared, because we had a very short rehearsal period for a university production. So we've put this together in 3 weeks.
And oh my gosh.
Really looking forward to sharing it with everybody starting Thursday night.
You know what I love about that, though? That this is like professional theater. I mean, they're doing other things, working other jobs, but
yeah,
they have to prepare this over a summer's period to come into rehearsal ready to go.
Yeah, it's starting to set up a professional expectation, which is what we are trying to model for the students as they go out. In the case of these two leads, you know, a little over a year from now.
Yeah, so you're in tech right now.
We had our tech rehearsals over the weekend. Yes, that challenging time, particularly with something that is as complex. You know, it's a small show in terms of scale for, I mean, there's it's a cast of like eight performers, you know, as opposed to a big musical that might have 30 or more people in it.
Mm-hmm.
But again, the technical elements, that takes a while. Yeah.
The music is so great.
It's so fun. It's like a doo-wop meets rock. You know, there are these three ladies, the urchins, and each one of them is named after an actual girls group from the 50s and 60s. So that definitely has a lot of influence on the score, for sure.
Well, I love it because they act like a Greek chorus, and it's almost like you're seeing the Supremes act like a Greek chorus.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, again, being a melodrama, like it there are elements of Greek and Roman tragedy in this piece, and those urchins function definitely like a Greek chorus as well as being characters that everybody interacts with, and they kind of are split personalities moving back and forth between those two functions in the show.
So this is set in an urban environment. What does your set look like? I mean, do you have the whole thing of the big catwalks and things like that?
We have catwalks, yes. This show has verticality to it, for sure. You know, there are internal and external locations as it relates to this florist shop where everything takes place. But then there's a random dentist involved, and we need a dentist office and things like that. And so we've used height within the space to help us with that. And also it's a florist shop that transforms as the shop becomes more and more financially successful.
Mm-hmm.
And so coming up with ways to make this thing be really sad and drab at the beginning and then transform into something really successful and fantastic by the end.
I just love it because I've seen the movie, and I've seen it on stage.
Uh-huh.
And I've seen the film with Rick Moranis and Ellen Green reprising her role.
Sure.
from the stage. But I always used to love it when all of a sudden the girls would end up on a fire escape, you know, doing
yes.
their little thing to comment on yes. the action that just occurred.
Yes, we have... We have a spiral fire case escape. We have all sorts of stairs. You will not be disappointed in that regard. And for people who have seen only the film, one of the cool things is that this is one of those examples where the film is significantly different from the stage show. And there are songs that are here that are not in the movie. There's some significant plot changes. So if you've only seen the film and you liked it, I know you'll love the stage show, but it will also be different enough that you'll feel like you've seen something new.
You've got to see it on stage. You absolutely do. You mentioned the dentist who's playing the dentist, that evil, evil man.
Yeah, well, you know, it's that role also, you know, in the original productions, both the off-Broadway and the Broadway production, that one person plays the dentist and like every other random character in the show. And being a student production, we were able to split that up a little bit and give more people an opportunity, which I think is neat. But we have a senior, his name is Cody, who's playing the dentist. And this is a dentist that you would not want to go see. he does not believe in any pain assistance. In fact, that's the purpose of him being a dentist. And I think the student, you know, conjures that with aplomb.
Yeah. Well, he's, I mean, definitely he can be so over the top. I don't know if there could be too much over the top with this character.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure that there is, but we haven't found it yet.
Well, I'm excited about it. And just to hear a character of Audrey sing Somewhere That's Green, a beautiful... They even referenced that on All Things Considered a few weeks ago.
Okay.
They did. They were talking about the ideal of middle America and what you want, what you aspire to. And
absolutely.
She sings about that.
It's exactly what she sings about, what that vision was.
She wants a you know, somewhere that's green and the picket fence or the chain link fence.
Right.
And the songs are all great. And the music is by Alan Menken, so say no more about that.
Absolutely.
He's a terrific, terrific writer. And I always have to remind myself, because it seems like I forget every time, that this was based on a Roger Corman film.
Yes, which is, you know, one of Jack Nicholson's very first, you know, film appearances. Which everybody loves to go see way back when. Yeah. But
so did your students, were they familiar with it, with the show?
They were familiar with the show. They weren't familiar with the source material, with the original film. It is a cult piece that is, you know, in pop culture awareness. Mm-hmm. And so they were familiar. Many of them had only seen the film, though, and mm-hmm. so to deal with this material and its differences has been neat.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. Little Shop of Horrors opens this Thursday at the University of Memphis, and is that going to be in the Rose Theater or Harris?
No, it's
Concert
in the
Hall?
Main stage theater in the theater building.
Okay, and you can find out box office hours by going to the website, and that's memphis.edu/theater. Ticket prices are free for students and faculty, and people can call the box office to find out prices if you're not.
Yeah. Adult tickets are $20, and the website's a great place to go. We have a brand new online ticketing system this year, so you can always call the box office if you want, but you can buy online as well.
Okay, and if you need to call for information, that number is 678-3184. The University of Memphis Department of Theater and Dance kicking off the 2016-2017 with Little Shop of Horrors, again opening this Thursday, and showtimes are Thursday, Friday, Saturday this weekend, and next, Little Shop being directed by my guest this afternoon, Jacob Allen. Thanks so much.
Thank you.